Good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock, your friends in horror since 2013, part of the Strange Society Network. Go to @strangepodnet on Twitter for all your macabre podcasting needs. I am Johnny Numb, and joining me tonight, as always, or maybe not as always, is a more tired version of Johnny Numb, because earlier today, I attended Creature Feature Weekend in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And maybe I'm a bit more tired because we had a big year-long gap where there were no conventions, not much of anything happening in 2020. Just as an aside, I was supposed to go to Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey back in March of 2020, and that was right around the time they were gearing up to make that happen. The reports of COVID and the threat it posed were ramping up, and celebrities began to back out of the event, which eventually led to them canceling that edition of Monster Mania. So it's been a long time coming for me to re-enter the convention circuit, so if I seem a bit tired, just bear with me, and hopefully I'll make this as interesting as possible, because I think it is notable to kind of describe the feeling and the sense of what you get out of going to a convention. I know Bill and I have talked about Chiller Theater in the past and other conventions. And it's interesting, after a year absence of any sort of thing like this, at least this is my first time returning to one since 2019, it's kind of surreal. It feels a little different, but at the same time it feels kind of the same. And maybe to recap a little bit, Creature Feature Weekend began in 2019. I believe it was around Labor Day weekend, so pretty close to this time of year. I'm recording this episode on August 28th of 2021. So, yeah, and what I like about Creature Feature Weekend is it's smaller scale in comparison to, say, a Chiller Theater or some of the bigger conventions that you would find scattered across the country that are a bit more popularized because they're connected with some bigger horror websites or some horror publications. Creature Feature Weekend is much more modest, much more low-key by comparison. And I don't mean that in the derogatory sense. Something I really like about it, in addition to it being only 40 minutes from where I currently live, is the fact that it doesn't aspire to pack in the convention goers like sardines, which is a problem I've encountered with some other conventions, that they would rather keep the venue they're at and stuff it to capacity rather than move into a larger venue, capacity venue that might give people some more room to breathe. So something I like about Creature Feature is just it's maybe this is a sign of me getting older and not maybe having the temperament I had when I was 24 or something. But it's just more easily navigable. There's room to walk. There's room to talk with the vendors, talk with the guests, and you don't feel really rushed. So it's kind of nice in that way. It's not like you're an hour deep in a line waiting to get someone's autograph or take a selfie. It's not that certain people or vendors are getting mobbed. So I really like that about Creature Feature Weekend and the venue, which is the Wyndham at Gettysburg. There's another, I believe there's a Marriott next door, and there's also a movie theater just across the way within the same complex, which is pretty cool. So you can really make a day of it quite easily. The organizers of Creature Feature Weekend also have films playing at, it's called the Gateway Theater, and they also have panels and Q&As held there as well. I did not get to attend any of those this time, but I'm sure there were a bunch worth checking out, because there were a lot of interesting guests here this year to kind of rechristen the convention going season, as it were, after an absence. So maybe just to rattle off a couple, some of the people who were in attendance at Creature Feature Weekend were obviously Ted Raimi, Jonathan Breck, who was the creeper in the Jeepers Creepers 1-3, Courtney Gaines and John Franklin from Children of the Corn, and director Fritz Kirsch, who directed Children of the Corn and also Tough Turf, among others, was in attendance. Vernon Wells from The Road Warrior and a bunch of other stuff. Caroline Williams from Texas Chainsaw 2, a very familiar genre face. Three of the actors who've played Leatherface over the years were in attendance. And many more. There were a lot of horror authors as well, as tend to be the case at these conventions. You get a lot of horror authors trying to sell their books. Unfortunately, I have a Sterilite tub full of books at my house that I don't... I'm a slow reader, and so I go through books at a snail's pace. So unfortunately, for as much as I would like to read more, that is often not the case, unfortunately. So in any case, I was supposed to meet a friend at the convention, and he got hung up in traffic. So he just told me to go ahead on inside a while. So I did. And over the years, he and I have kind of developed a strategy for approaching conventions. And it's mostly what you'd want to do first is get your celebrity autographs, because especially if you go on maybe a Sunday, some people might start to pack up. If it's slow, they might just duck out before the day's properly over with. So I think we've had that experience in the past. So our strategy is kind of to hit the autographs first and then peruse the vendor section in more detail. So basically I started off the show by shaking hands with, figuratively speaking, of course, by meeting John Franklin, who played Isaac in the Children of the Corn films, very renowned, memorable face, especially in the first Children of the Corn movie. And I asked him, if he had any shots from Tammy and the T-Rex, which I think I watched for the first time last year, courtesy of Vinegar Syndrome. It's a very wacky, unique mess of a movie that's not easily forgotten. Somewhat in jest, I asked him if he had any Tammy and the T-Rex pictures featuring him, and he said he didn't, but he was kind of, he seemed very pleased and slightly surprised that the film was coming back, as it were. So it was nice to start off talking to him like that, because it just kind of went from there. He just was very polite, very, very kind, and very giving with, the things he had to say, and you know, I spoke to him about the script he worked on with a friend of the show, Christopher Broadstone, who you may recall as the filmmaker behind Human No More, which I spoke very highly about at our year-end show in 2020, last year. And I also recently gave away a copy of Human No More to a lucky winner on our show. So it was nice to talk to him about that. And he was very, like I said, he was very kind. And he took a socially distanced photograph, which hopefully I'll get to share with everybody on the socials soon enough. So after meeting up with John, I walked over to, let me think. Yes, after that, I walked over to Kira Schoen, who is legendary in horror because she is essentially the face of 1968's Night of the Living Dead. You see pretty much any image or any poster from this film, and she's going to be featured in it in some way with her distinctive zombie makeup and hair hanging half down in front of her face. I have a poster of her I have a poster of Night of the Living Dead, but it's just a huge shot of her character, Karen Cooper, from the film. And for those who aren't familiar, though I can't imagine anybody is unfamiliar with Miss Schoen, she played Karen Cooper, who was the ill-fated daughter of Harry and Helen Cooper. She got bit while they were fleeing from the zombies, and eventually she becomes a zombie and does in her mom and dad. So it's pretty pretty fantastic stuff and pretty memorable, you know, still to this day, watching her chew on poor Harry and stabbing poor Helen with a trowel repeatedly. Her table was really, it was really neat, the photographs she had, mostly black and white shots from Night of the Living Dead, some stuff that looked like B-roll footage, kind of, where you could see, like, the camera, the film camera. There was a great behind-the-scenes shot that I just that snapped up. It was just beautiful. It was Romero, let's see, Judith Ridley, who played Judy in the movie, Carl Hardman, who played Harry, Kira, out of makeup, and Marilyn Eastman, who recently passed away, unfortunately. She was sitting in the foreground, covered in blood, and Kira had her hand on her shoulder in a very in a very loving, daughterly way, and I absolutely love that image. It's kind of sad that you know, those folks, as far as I know, everybody except Miss Schoen and Judith Ridley have passed on. I think there's a lot of history in that photo, and I just love that black and white quality. It was really beautiful. So I got her to sign that. I was gonna ask her to write "I hurt" on the photo, but I neglected to say that, but it was okay because she wrote it on there anyway. And as I was talking to my friend later, I was like, I think that's her only line in the movie. So that was pretty nice. So it was really a thrill to meet her, just because I've said it before, Night of the Living Dead is my favorite horror movie and certainly one of my favorite films of all time, from seeing it at a early age. And just you know, a lot of that film is showing you what horror can do, whether it's you know, visually or metaphorically or in terms of a cultural commentary. There's a lot going on there. So that was really great to meet her, and she was very kind and had a good sense of humor as well. And seated next to Michonne was John Amplos, who is also a veteran of George Romero's cinema. Probably his most iconic role is the titular character in Martin, the young man who believes he is a vampire, but instead of fangs, he uses a hypodermic needle and a razor blade to extract blood from his victims. You know, definitely I complimented him on how real his performance felt, how good it was, and also just how the film itself felt very real, like the locations, you know, the depressed Pittsburgh locations that Romero used in the film. And even the actors had a very true-to-life quality that kind of bucked that notion of really airbrushed celebrity, I guess you could say, that you encounter in most Hollywood films. So, you know, John was very nice to talk to. Of course, he was in Knight Riders as well, and he also played Ted Fisher, one of the scientists in Day of the Dead. So, yeah, very, very nice guy to meet. I was debating whether to get his autograph or not, but it was really just cool to meet him and see those two people from the Romeroverse, you know, in that cinematic Pittsburgh family, together, for this con. So after meeting John, I walked over, because this individual wasn't here when I initially walked into the room, was none other than Ted Raimi, who I can't tell you the number of conventions I've been to where Ted has been a guest. And it never fails that I either opted not to get his autograph, or he just wasn't, you know, his line was too deep, or, you know, whatever the reason / excuse was. So this was kind of nice. Another nice thing about Creature Feature Weekend, like I said, the guests aren't getting mobbed like they are at some other conventions. So it's kind of, you can just walk up very easily, and talk to people and, you know, get your autographs, get your photos taken, selfies. So, yeah, I walked up to Mr. Raimi, got him to sign just kind of a plain shot of him with a smoldering cigarette. And again, not unlike John Franklin, I said to Ted, you don't have any shots from Skinner, which is a movie that Severin released a few years back. It's a very unorthodox film where Mr. Raimi plays a serial killer who skins his victims and wears the skins around all stitched together, kind of in an Ed Gein sort of way. And he was like, no, I don't have any. And I was I don't know how often he gets asked about Skinner, but I do think that's one of his great performances, where he's actually a lead and not a supporting character or just kind of a bit player. So it was fun to joke with him a little about that, you know. And I passed along a message from Crash Palace's own Susan Layton, who also runs The Screening Space, another site I write for. And, you know, she told me to say hi to Ted. So I said, oh yeah, Susan says hi. And he was like, oh yeah, I remember Susan. You know, she's very kind, you know, very good writer, very supportive. A lot of very there, which is definitely, you know, Susan is a very giving and kind and very creative person, very good writer as well. So that was cool to make these little connections across the way for people who couldn't be there, you know, who were there in spirit, in a sense, thanks to my bringing them up. So that was really nice. It was great to finally meet Ted Raimi after all this time, you know. You know, obviously I'm a big fan of his brother Sam's work, and I always enjoy it when Ted pops up in a movie, which is, you know, more often than you think, or a TV show. So I should have asked him about, what was it? I think it was Clear and Present Danger where he got to act next to Harrison Ford. Oh well, next time. So those were the celebrities I was looking to meet while I was there. So once I joined up with my friend, we hit the vendor rooms. And I think the interesting thing about conventions is sometimes you can, say with Monster Mania, which is a bigger scale convention, and a lot, there's more vendors, there's more guests. You'll often find companies like Severin or Vinegar Syndrome, they have tables set up there where you can buy, excuse me, their movies. Creature Feature Weekend is a little more laid back than that. I don't want to say laid back. The focus is a bit different. There's a lot of artisans in the vendor areas. It's mostly like people selling their art, which can be prints, originals, enamel pins, more people selling their books. Some people are selling like figurines, t-shirts, like custom t-shirts, pizza party printing was one of the vendors that I've been aware of for quite a couple years now, at least. And they do pins. They actually had an Afghan with a design from The Thing and another one with a custom design from Creepshow, which I thought was pretty cool. So I bought a few pins from them. There were some other tables that were pretty neat. I have always been a big pin collector, probably for the past 20 years. I have so many, I don't have enough coats to cycle them around on to use them all up. So I basically have like a shoebox full of pins. And I know it's been kind of a trend within the past couple of years, like the enamel pin thing is huge. So there are a lot of enamel pins there. I found a cool Calvin and Hobbes and a wagon design, which I was happy to find. And also, I know they're a chain, but Books a Million, this was they also they had a booth at the first Creature Feature Weekend back in 2019, and they also had one this time. And you can get the for as much as Books a Million is a chain, and I don't really patronize them a lot, they really just like literally bring in all their horror stuff for Creature Feature Weekend. So I can't help but stop and look at all they bring. They have your Funko Pops, they have Stephen King books front and center, and they also have like puzzles and games, like jigsaw puzzles. They had horror Trivial Pursuit. And a lot of other stuff. So I did actually pick up two Funkos from from the Books a Million merch table, which I was just because I was so surprised they had them. They had the Red Miller and Mandy Funko Pops from the movie Mandy, and I was just like, I did not expect a big chain store to be carrying these. For such a movie that's relatively obscure by comparison. So I really couldn't help myself with that. There was another booth where there were a lot of figurines for sale from some were more recent, some were like from years ago and like kind of like stapled plastic bags. They had some VHS and some DVDs for sale. I found what I believe is an out of print copy of Matthew Bright's Freeway, which hasn't gotten a proper Blu-ray release. And yeah, I'm pretty sure the DVD is out of print, but I didn't do any research before sitting down to record this, so I could be wrong. But that film has obviously very young Reese Witherspoon, pre-election, pre-stardom, and Kiefer Sutherland. I recently got to watch the sequel, Freeway 2, Confessions of a Trick Baby, which I really liked. So, and I remembered not liking Freeway when I saw it, like when I was in my late teens. So I figured, oh, what the hell? I'll give it another try. So I picked up the DVD. And also, I must mention, and he has an Etsy shop, Let me see if I'm spelling it right or saying it right. Cine Tredici, CineTredici, and this is Nicholas Jackson, who also has an Etsy shop under that name, under the Cine Tredici name. He was at the very end of the outer hallway of vendors, and I just the first time I stopped at his table, I got wrapped up in a conversation about all of the he had prints, he had originals for sale, just all of these iconic images, and some of them were pretty obscure, and we were just kind of, he and I were just kind of talking back and forth about the more obscure things he'd painted. You know, I pointed out immediately the image of, he had an image of Herc Harvey emerging from the Great Salt Lake in Carnival of Souls, and he was like, that's the first time someone recognized what that was from, and it kind of just went from there. He had a really cool painting inspired by Repulsion with the arms coming out of the walls, a cool shot of the girl at the window from Mario Bava's Kill Baby Kill, and it bears noting that I got prints of all of these because they were so fucking cool. But he also had stuff from, like, obscure stuff from, like, the Pit, which is kind of an odd 80s movie with a talking teddy bear, and a lot of other stuff too. Just he had a lot of stuff. Father Thomas from City of the Living Dead, renditions of John Carpenter and Dario Argento. He had a great print, or a great print painting, whatever, of the attack scene from The Bird with the Crystal Plumage, done from the POV of Tony Musante outside the window. And there was also, what's the other one, Four Flies on Grey Velvet. He had a great design for that as well. So he was a really nice guy. I loved talking to him. It was a lot of fun. And I usually at horror conventions, you'll see cards and flyers scattered all over the place at random places. Usually if you buy something from someone, they'll stick a card in your bag. If you are looking at someone's stuff and you decide not to get anything, they'll usually pass on a card anyway. So it was very... this was one of the cases where I said to him, hey, you know, if you have an Etsy shop, could you just stick your card in the bag? And he did. So that was really kind of him. And I don't know where I'm going to put all this stuff in terms of getting it framed and hung up someplace, but... I'm sure I'll think of something. And the last story I have is I met up with the personality of Mr. Lobo, who's responsible for Cinema Insomnia. He gave me a flyer, and it's sort of described as, for over 18 years, the slightly enigmatic Mr. Lobo has been your movie companion into the realm of the bizarre and the spooky. Now you can enjoy this series on DVD that proves they're not bad movies, just misunderstood. There was one table that was just full of, like, Mr. Lobo merch, and then there was another table that had his movies, or I guess the movies he's hosted on his show, along with a remake of Plan 9 from Outer Space that he appears in, along with Camille Keaton, of all people. So it's kind of funny because I'd passed by the table a couple of times, and I believe it's his girlfriend was one of the people working the table, and she, like, called out my shirt, which you'll see in photos that get posted online for Splatterfest 9, which was last Saturday at Phoenixville. And she was like, oh my god, I designed this shirt. I designed that shirt. I'm so happy to see someone wearing it. So I was kind of happy to get recognized in that way. And so I was talking with her for a bit, and she was sort of advising me on recommending stuff to me that Mr. Lobo had done, because I'm not familiar with his work. I know of him as a personality on the convention circuit because he's done others of these that he's appeared at as a guest. So I'm kind of looking forward to diving into that. I bought his version of The Horrors of Spider Island, which I just recently watched, or rewatched, I should say, for the first time, on a courtesy of Severin's Blu-ray. And it's an interesting bad movie, so I'm interested to see how he does it. Sorry, I just dropped it there. How he does it, because she was describing him a bit as a bit like Joe Bob Briggs, more like that than like Mystery Science Theater 3000. So I'll be interested to see how I react to that. So I believe those are the highlights of Creature Feature Weekend. And I guess in terms of who you should follow, just follow the people that I mentioned on this show. If they have social media accounts, check them out. And I'm sure I'll be providing some handles in the show notes, since I don't have them on me at the moment. Because obviously Sleepy John, or Tired John, came really prepared when he decided to sit down and record this episode. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this. It was interesting to come back to a convention, and you know, I think a lot of people are in this headspace of, is it safe? Is it not safe? I know I've been vaccinated since May. There were still people coming in. You know, the guideline was, if you hadn't gotten vaccinated yet, they wanted you to wear a mask. If you were vaccinated, they were saying it was okay not to, if you didn't want to. So basically a lot of this was honor system, I would say. They weren't going to the lengths that some live music venues are going to, or going to be going to in the fall, with asking for a proof of vaccination, and being masked for the duration of a concert, which I have a few that are coming up that are going to be like that. So it was a good experience. I would say if you're hesitant on going out, I would say by all means don't push yourself to do that. You know, I made this decision of my own free will, hopefully my Johnson & Johnson vaccine is enough to see me through. But like I said, that was a Creature Feature Weekend is a very much more low-key event. There were more people there this year than there were in 2019, which, like I said, was their debut edition. But still, even with that, there was plenty of space to like keep your distance, and you know, there wasn't a lot of swarming or mobbing of booths or guests. So if you're close to the Gettysburg area, or if you find yourself in the area sometime, and my hope is that they continue doing it based on the continued uptick in the turnout, I would highly recommend checking out Creature Feature Weekend. Their website is creaturefeatureweekend.com, and they do a good job of keeping things updated on there, and also on their Facebook page. So thank you to all who listened this evening, and I will talk to you soon, maybe with Billy Crash. You can find me at Johnny Numb on Twitter and Letterboxd, and you can also find my writing at thescreeningspace.com, run by the wonderful Susan Layton. So take care, and I'll see you next time. Bye.